my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey friends, episode 287 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast, and this is a very loosely based wrestling under the influence. I came up with an idea, and I wanted to incorporate some of my friends from Stride Pro Wrestling into this conversation. And so I created a Zoom event, and a handful entered in, and we had a conversation. And some of us enjoyed adult beverages, others did not. But it was a fun, quick little, and because of the time limits of Zoom, we were restricted. So not a terribly long episode, but I do want to talk a little bit about the beverage that I'm having. It is from Sleepy Dog Brewing. It is called the Tail Chaser IPA, and it is a 6.5% alcohol by volume. It's an IBU of 68.2, which this is not a bad beer. And again, I have kind of evolved in my love or like of IPAs, and I actually enjoyed this one from Sleepy Dog Brewing. And, you know, I apologize. I should have done a little bit more homework. I'm just reading it this straight off of the can. I'm not exactly sure where Tail Chaser or where Sleepy Dog Brewing is based out of, but this was a good beer. The never-ending circular chase for the perfect IPA is over. Tail Chaser IPA is bursting with notes of grapefruit and pine. The big hop character is supported by a solid malt backbone that allows attention to turn back to more important things like squirrels. So, again, can't recommend this one enough. It's a good beer. And I talk a little bit about my reasoning behind calling it Tail Chaser when we get into the podcast, but I want to thank Dalton Anthony, Jay Spade, who are, by the way, the wrestling buddies and the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions, along with Stride Pro Wrestling referee Lane Austin, and Bud Gallows, a former tag team champion in his own right. These guys spent a little time with me and talked some wrestling. We run down some things going on in both WWE and AEW, and talk about independent wrestling and Stride Pro Wrestling as well, and share some favorite memories and thoughts of the business as well. So I want to know how you're doing, what's going on with you during this whole pandemic, COVID-19. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. And certainly want to shout out my friends, Chad Smart from the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, as well as Greg Mahochko, who is the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and what he's doing here with the network and the shows. He and Chad, of course, host the Greg and Chad Power Half Hour, as well as Nerds United with Mike Luther. You know, Dalton, who is part of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, which is part of the PZ85, the Podzilla 1985 network as well, over in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. My buddies, the Skulls, Tom and Jason Skull, give them a shout out as well. And Travis Yates, who does the Still Up All Night podcast. Check all of these guys out. They're great people. They have great shows, and they're creating that content even during this time of pandemic, which I know some people have more time on their hands. Others don't have as much time. So, and I want to thank Tyler Heath Hatton, who is, you know, Stride Pro Wrestling. We're working to keep things alive and going with Stride Pro Wrestling. This has been a challenging time for all of us. So Tyler will be on the show in a couple of weeks again for another Two is Greater Than One. And I'm sure we'll talk more about the challenges going on as an independent wrestling owner, promoter, booker, etc. So, sit back, enjoy the show. It's about a 40-minute experience or so, give or take. And, you know, we had a good time. And I appreciate everyone who supports my 1-2-3 cents here on the podcast, but as well as the blog, the YouTube channel. I'm creating new content for YouTube. And I also want to encourage you, if you have a few extra bucks, check out collarandelbowbrand.com and use the promo code MY123CENTS. You will save 10% on each purchase. And also, check out prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. There are Stride Pro Wrestling shirts, or a Stride Pro Wrestling shirt there, as well as, of course, a couple of designs based on Mondo. So Mondo, of course, is the My123cents mascot and monkey here. But again, thanks everyone for being a part, listening, tuning in, and just supporting me through the years. It's been a decade almost, so, and we'll talk more about that as it gets closer. But now, stay tuned for a little wrestling under the influence.
Social media is an important part of doing business today, but staying on top of the ever-changing social media scene isn't so easy to do. Enter Idea Creative Marketing, for experts in optimizing our clients' inbound marketing and social media presence.
Us as a bank, for example, somebody didn't get a loan, they might be upset. They get on Facebook and fire off the social media boundaries that are set. They're very quick to catch that, regardless of the time of day. They let us know, and if it's something we can get a response to immediately, we do. So their ability to know it immediately and contact us is a huge part of that.
It's not rocket science, but sometimes we wear astronaut suits.
Trajectory looks good. Right.
Idea Creative Marketing. Find out how we can help streamline your marketing efforts. Visit ideacreativemarketing.com.
Roger. All right, friends, as promised, this is kind of a unique, and I've got to admit, I came up with another idea based on this Zoom-type podcast. We're recording on Zoom because I wanted to kind of host several people and kind of threw it out at the last minute, so I apologize for those who weren't able to make it, and we're going to do this again, I promise. I think this is going to work out, and we're going to do it again. But right now, joining us for sure is Dalton Anthony, one half of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions. Dalton, welcome back to My 1-2-3 Cents.
How's it going, Kevin? Yeah, you messaged just a couple hours ago, and I was like, I have nothing to do on a Saturday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the case for a lot of us, I think. And also referee Lane Austin joining us. Lane, welcome back as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely, and I know you guys are staying healthy and safe in quarantine, and I figured we'd drink a little beer or whatever beverage of choice you have, and I'm going to go ahead and pop mine open. I'm drinking a Tail Chaser IPA from Sleepy Dog Brewing, and I know nothing about this beer or this company. I saw this at the liquor store, and I thought, you know, chasing tail, I feel like right now a lot of companies are kind of chasing their tail to figure out exactly what is going to happen in the future when it comes to professional wrestling. And Dalton, I'm going to kind of start the conversation with you there because you are, of everyone that's here right now, and Bud Gallows is joining us here in just a moment as well. He's getting loaded into the room. But, Dalton, you were at the Stride Show Old School where we recorded without an audience. And I know you haven't wrestled that long. You've been doing it almost about 2 years now, right?
Yeah, I think about two.
So talk to me a little bit about that kind of environment. We've seen it with WWE and AEW and now Impact Wrestling. They're all doing shows without an audience, and there's been a lot of criticism of that. So number one, I want to ask you from a wrestler's perspective, what was that like? And then I want to get your opinion as a fan, all three of you guys, I want to get your opinions of watching wrestling without an audience. But Dalton, start off with being a wrestler and not having that crowd to kind of feed off of.
It was really weird. Going into it, I knew it was going to kind of be a different situation because at the point that we did Old School, we were only a couple of like weeks into no crowd shows with AEW and WWE.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of understanding what we were going to get into and how things were going to have to be done to be effective. I also had Jay there, who is super helpful in trying to figure out how to plan a match without your wrestling 101 basics available to you. There was a lot of stuff that I'm used to doing in matches that I couldn't do because there wasn't a crowd.
And the crowd really does make a difference. I noticed it just being there and recording the show and announcing you guys. The crowd, it adds so much for a number of reasons, but obviously one of them is kind of keeping you motivated and going throughout a match.
Yeah. It's something that all of us have done that are wrestlers. We do practice matches, and it's one of those things. I'm not the biggest fan of practice matches just because it's really hard to get a good emotion off of a cold read.
Yeah.
When there's no reaction, it's really hard to give 100%, which is why people make younger guys do it, because you need to be able to do it at any given point. But, yeah, it's one of those whenever you're just having to do it to get the product out there, you have to learn how to get around your basic firing the crowd up and getting them to do it you want to. You basically just have to tell the story without them there, which is really, it's a lot more difficult than you think it would be.
Absolutely. And I mentioned it a minute ago, Bud Gallows is here. What are you drinking there, Bud? Ah, he's here, but we can't hear him.
Yeah, he didn't connect his audio.
You there, bud? All right. Dalton, you were drinking something a second ago, too. We'll get to you, bud. Get your audio going. It shows that it's here, but I don't hear you.
It's either in his headset or it's on his computer. I think it's his headset.
Oh, okay.
I'm drinking strawberry lager from the Abita Brewing Company.
I almost picked that up today. I saw that at the store, yeah.
I'm not a big beer person at all, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's during the quarantine, it's the only alcohol I had in my fridge that's not Mike's Hard, and I really don't want you judging me today.
So. Yeah, or it could be a White Claw, I guess. Lane Austin, we're here with you, buddy. What's going on? Oh, there he is. He's on video now as well. Lane, what has been your experience with watching WWE? I assume you're still watching Raw and SmackDown, or at least some of the shows. What's it like for you as a fan watching it without that audience participation of sorts?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's an offset. It's a change for me. So much wrestling going off of the fans. But I'm glad they're still putting theirs. I'm grateful they're still putting themselves on the line to do that. No.
What, do you look at it, though, because I've heard criticism on other podcasts, and it always, and I know WWE is obviously the big dog in the hunt, and the criticism has been spurred mostly towards them, but is this an act of greed or selfishness when these companies are going on and putting on shows? Because it's not, like I said, it's not just WWE. AEW has a pay-per-view that we're going to talk about in a little bit, in a week. You know, where do we draw the line? Because baseball, obviously, you're not having baseball right now without the crowds. You're not having, you know, the NBA, the NHL, all the other sports canceled. NASCAR, everything is done. Wrestling's still going on, though. So is it greed, or is it just a way to work something out that the fans still kind of get that need met of sorts?
I think it's for that need a mm-hmm. lot. I think it's a bunch of selfless people that are because you read some of the wrestlers that are not putting themselves in that kind of risk, but you have a lot that are. So, I mean, I respect it. Like, last Monday, I saw a moment like that with the Becky Lynch thing in a long mm-hmm. time in wrestling. And that's the kind of stuff that keeps me interested, stuff like that, like the real stuff like that.
Let me ask you guys about the Intercontinental Championship, because, you know, it was reported early on when all of this started that WWE wasn't going to punish or penalize or make anyone lose their spot due to COVID-19. But then this past week, it was announced that Sami Zayn's being stripped of the Intercontinental Championship, and a tournament has started on SmackDown to crown a new champion. I think it's a work. That's my gut instinct. It's not. Sami Zayn is not being punished. I think he is going to come back on the other side of this, and they're working an angle. That's my opinion on it. But what are you guys thinking? Is he being punished? Because I mean, then you throw the comparisons of Brock Lesnar, who had the championship for how many years, where he was on mm-hmm. a handful of shows at a time. Lane, start us off.
I don't know. The fan in me doesn't want to believe that it's a work, but I really don't think the WWE would, I don't think they put themselves in that position to punish somebody for the whole virus thing. I think it's a work. I think you're right.
Dalton?
My personal opinion.
It almost has, like, part of me wants to think it's a work, but also they took the cruiserweight title off of Devlin. I think the issue right now is they don't have the crowd there to get your normal stories. Mm-hmm. So your title belts are actually going to be the important stories going forward. So they need those there being defended on the table. I think that's a big reason why we saw all of the titles go to people that have been regularly on Raw and SmackDown mm-hmm. the last couple months, because they need those belts there for the story, because you don't have your crowd reaction.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm leaning toward it being a work is Sami Zayn's response on Twitter when the tournament started, and he kind of was running down all the competitors and stuff. So to me, I don't know. I thought maybe if he legitimately was stripped and he had sour grapes, he wouldn't take to Twitter and talk about it. Bud, can you hear us? Can you weigh in on this one?
Can you hear me now?
We got you, buddy. We got you. So what are your thoughts on the whole Intercontinental Championship situation and Sami Zayn being stripped of the title?
I feel like it's just him not feeling safe with what's going on in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And they're just trying to keep the title relevant by giving it to someone else. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, and that makes sense, too. Let me talk to you guys, too, about, since we're talking about championships and shows without crowds, AEW has a big event coming up on Saturday. It is another pay-per-view show. And Dalton, help me with the name. Is it All In as well? Are they calling it
Double or Nothing 2.
Double or Nothing 2. Okay, thank you.
Quadruple or Nothing.
So it's in Las Vegas. They have, pardon the pun, they've raised the stakes and are taking a page out of the WWE's book from 22 years ago, and that is bringing Mike Tyson into the fold. He will present the winner of the TNT Championship. It's either going to be Cody Rhodes or Vance Archer. One of those two will be awarded the championship. Jay Spade joining us now as well, so we're going to get him into the fold and introduced here and get his opinion as well. But, Bud, I want to start with you. And some of you guys aren't old enough to have been around when Tyson was first around in the WWE. Actually, in 1990, 30 years ago, was the first taste of what was going to be, and I don't think any of you were around for that.
Buster Douglas.
Right. So Mike Tyson was the champion. Mike Tyson was a machine, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. And in January or February of 1990, I remember this very vividly. I was in high school. Tyson was defending the championship against Buster Douglas in Japan it was overseas. Tyson was being teased and led up to be the special guest referee between a Hulk Hogan, Macho King, Randy Savage match on the main event, primetime NBC back in 1990. Tyson gets his ass knocked out. WWE calls an audible and puts Buster Douglas in. So Tyson's first seeds were planted in 1990, then again in 98. We see the whole thing go down with DX and Stone Cold. Now we're 22 years removed. We're all a little older, we're all a little grayer, as we're doing this on video, you can see the gray in my beard. Bringing Mike Tyson in, and Bud, I'm going to start with you, is this, where are you on this as a fan, and where are you as a fan on AEW? I guess I should have gotten that kind of insight from you guys as well.
Well, with AEW, just in general, I enjoy it, because it's fresh. The mm-hmm. matchup is fresh, you see familiar faces like Marco. And it's just awesome to watch every Wednesday. It's different. I like NXT too, but I prefer to watch AEW just because they're the new guys. I want to give them all my ratings if I have any, because sometimes I don't have TV. Mm. I'm cheap and I like to cut the cord. But I remember whenever Mike Tyson was there back in '98, because I remember watching it live and just being shocked. The way he just knocked out Shawn Michaels. But we ended up buying it on VHS. My older brother was a huge wrestling fan, which is a big reason why I got into it. And we rewatched that pay-per-view over and over again. And that was when I fell in love with Stone Cold myself. And it had a lot to do with Mike Tyson and that whole build-up.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Jay Spade, welcome. One half of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champ. Do we have the wrestling buddies here with us today?
We do.
So, Spade, yeah. Number one, what are you drinking?
So it's T.
Oh, okay. In a Smurf glass? Is that a Smurf glass?
It is a Smurf glass.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah.
It's a Smurf glass. Yes! I have like two or three of them. I have more than one man should.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm in that boat too. So, we talked a little bit about wrestling, and I wanted your perspective on this as well. We're going to go back to the first question. Dalton kind of filled us in on his perspective, but Dalton has been wrestling about 2 years. You've got, 10 years or so under your belt, close to it?
Yeah.
Was this the first time when we did old school? Was that the first time you had wrestled without a crowd?
Yeah, I mean, when it wasn't like, we'd have like practice matches and stuff. Right.
I guess there were some of those way back days where there weren't very many people in the crowd, but there were still at least some people there.
Well, that was another thing that I was going to say. I've done shows where there's maybe been 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do, Tyler would do them too, but we used to do shows in Mount Vernon whose company was it? I can't remember. But we used to do it up there in Mount Vernon, and we'd have maybe 10 people, and it was always cold. So I don't know. I know it was a little bit different because you have to do your matches different. You can't just get your opponent down and just continue to kind of beat on him because he's just going to sit there and moan, and it's not going to sound
right.
It's not going to be, anything you're going to want to watch. So, I mean, I liked it because it was just different.
Well, and the crowd is there, obviously for support, but there's also a function of having that noise, so to speak, to kind of cover up, or like you said, you don't want a guy just laying there moaning the whole time because then it becomes a bit of an awkward situation as well.
Right.
So talk to me about the AEW event going on. Are you a fan of AEW? Do you watch? And what are your thoughts on Mike Tyson being brought into the fold?
Oh, okay. That's news to me.
Mm.
I knew that he was doing some videos about it, like him boxing and stuff like that, but I didn't know.
Yeah, there's something else going on, and I think that might be why they're striking while the iron is hot, so to speak. But Tyson is going to present the winner of the TNT Championship, which I think is going to essentially be their TV title.
Is that their first belt? I mean, well, I don't mean first belt. I mean, is that their? They've never had a champion like TNT champion, right?
This, yeah, they've had a tournament, and then this is the finals are Vance Archer, who was Lance Hoyt in TNA, and then Cody are the two final competitors in this. I think it was an 8-man tournament, but so Tyson's going to present the winner of that match with the new championship belt. So, it obviously worked for WWE against WCW. Is this, and I'm not suggesting that AEW is trying to overtake WWE by any means, but they are obviously pulling some pages out of WWE's playbook from the past.
Yeah, and I think that they're just trying to do something different. And that's the big thing. It's like, if you watch their shows, like they have a bunch of the wrestlers just sitting out in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
just goofing off. I mean, I think that makes it a little less awkward than watching like Raw.
Yeah.
Where there's not really anybody. So, just watching wrestling without a crowd is just—it's just weird in general. Like when baseball and stuff starts up, like it's going to be weird because there's not from what I've heard, there's not going to be any fans for a while.
Yeah,
that's strange. So, but I watch it here and there. I try to, but I like Jericho's podcast. I'll listen to that a lot, so I'll catch up.
Yeah,
on a bunch of that sort of stuff. But I think it's a good thing. They're just trying to get people in there to watch, but I don't think they're trying to overtake necessarily. And
yeah.
I know that's not what you meant, but
right.
I think they're just trying to give somebody else something else to watch. And that's why I watch it. I try to watch both because I like NXT too.
Yeah. It's a good alternative. Dalton, I think you probably might be the, AEW aficionado of sorts. I know that you have a palette of all kinds of wrestling from around the world. So what's your take on No, that was a compliment.
No, you didn't hear Jay. No. You didn't hear Jay.
I might have coughed and said Mark.
I didn't hear that. I'm Dalton's flipping the camera off. I thought, okay.
We're all Marks.
We are all Marks. But Dalton, what's your takeaway on Mike Tyson and his involvement? Because I feel like sometimes, I don't want to say AEW gets a pass, but I feel like if TNA or if even Ring of Honor was doing something like this, because, you know, TNA kind of developed that reputation of being WWE light. And I know AEW obviously has a lot of indie talent, but there's also a lot of former, you know, the main event, for example, is two former WWE superstars. So
yeah,
what's your kind of takeaway on all of it?
I think it goes back to what Spade said about it, just it's being different. And I think the reason AEW is getting that pass that a lot of other companies don't is because they're the really only – this is the first actual legitimate competition, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. to WWE, where you could believe that they could actually compete.
Yeah.
As far as Tyson, if Kevin, I don't know if you've seen it, but the video of him going back into the training and just hitting some pads, dude's still a killer.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's like 51, 55 years old. If I'm still legitimately scared of him, if they let him get on that Vitor Belfort TRT replacement, I think he could actually mess up some current boxers if they let him compete.
Well, he was chubby a couple years ago, though, wasn't he?
Like, yeah, he's not.
Like, hey, yeah, he,
their weight.
He's not anymore, Jay.
Yeah, he's not anymore.
Well, I know now. I meant like a year ago.
The hangover days.
Yeah, but
I think it's really cool to get him back in, because more like I'm the youngest in this chat, and I definitely wasn't around to really remember Tyson as the boxer unless I go back and watch it.
Right.
But Mike Tyson to me is more of a comedic personality nowadays.
Yeah.
So he's still relevant, not as much as he was when he was a boxer, but he's still relevant. But now that he's reawakened, or the Warriors reawakened, I think was his exact words. And you have that, you have him boxing again, you have him doing a lot of interviews. Like, it's really smart on AEW to get him in and do this, just because we all remember how big of a deal it was that Bret Hart unveiled the heavyweight championship. That right. was a big deal. Having Mike Tyson also could be another big deal for AEW.
What do they have to lose by it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like $1 million to get him to come into, like, present the belt. Hey. But they have that.
Mm-hmm.
To Tony Khan, that's probably like $10. So
yeah.
Well, I read somewhere they actually made like a profit last month, even with the whole virus and stuff everything like going that, on. They actually made a profit.
So Jay, to help you out with that, they have an action figure line going out, and I'm willing to say they're. Marketing probably costs less than WWE, like getting product out, because they go through pro wrestling tees. They don't do everything themselves.
Yeah.
So it probably is easier. Also, like what you said with the crowd, or the wrestlers being in the crowd.
Yeah.
It has made their show more enjoyable than WWE.
I agree.
Yes. So yeah. I think it's one of those things where people are going to AEW because you're getting not traditional wrestling at all, but you're getting the traditional feel of wrestling because you still have people around the barricade.
And that's a good point, too, about working with pro wrestling tees, because I noticed they've released, or they're about to release, a line of sneakers. So, you know, at one point, you know, people, critics, I feel like, kind of scoffed and laughed and called them a t-shirt company that has wrestling. But really, I mean, this is almost a genius move. Because they have kind of unlimited resources on what they can do on that promotional side of things, which, I mean, let's face it, merchandising is where the money, I think, really comes into play.
Yeah. Well, there's not really another t-shirt company out there that does any kind of pro wrestling shirts, you know, that probably make more money than pro wrestling tees. Yeah. I don't know, Hot Topic, like, are they the same at all? Hot Topic and...
Actually, Jada... Answer that question. Pro Wrestling Tees or Hot Topic goes through Pro Wrestling Tees.
Okay, so yeah, so I mean they have plenty of money to do, you know, whatever, really.
Yeah, and they've been doing, Kevin, to reach back to the shoes. They've been doing the shoes for a while.
Oh, have they? Okay.
Yeah, they've been called Super Kicks. That's the name of the brand of the shoe. Jay, I'm not smart enough to make this shit up, dude.
That's true.
I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, because the first shoes were like the Young Bucks.
Okay.
And then they've done some like New Japan shoes. So AEW is doing them. I only know this because somebody sent me the Jurassic Express one because I know I'm buddies with Marco.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, hey, you buying these? And I'm like, they're $100 for a pair of shoes.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not.
I didn't see the price, but that's interesting.
Yeah. The original Super Kicks were like $150, like $125 to $150, because I think I almost bought the Young Bucks one once, and I saw the price, and I was like, no.
Wow.
They're cool. Like,
yeah, but like, when you buy them, do you even wear them?
No, like, because I have, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I bought some, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I got from Chalkline, the one that does those really gaudy jackets that I love. They have a shoe line that, like, but you can get their shoes for, like, $30, and they're almost the exact same. Those Shawn Michaels ones that I've worn before, those are Chalkline. They're the exact same shoe, I'm pretty sure, and they're, like, $30, so they're usually always on sale. Really? I'll wear those, but not – if I was to buy these, like, they look awesome. I can't say they don't look cool, but that price range for them is ridiculous.
Well, because we are recording through Zoom, we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to – I can't – I know people aren't watching this as we are, but Bud Gallows is painting right now, and I know that is kind of his new persona in Stride Pro Wrestling, and he's done some videos. So, Bud, talk to us about the development, the new character of sorts that you're moving into here.
Finding something to do, midlife crisis. Most people go back to school, become a teacher, something like that. I started painting. That's really all it is.
Very nice.
Also, isn't this a masterpiece?
It is a masterpiece, yeah. And that
happy trees.
Happy trees. All happy trees, all of it. Like, except for this part and, like, this part. That's not so happy. But, like, this part... Like,
did you take any painting classes in school, though?
I mean, I may.
Art classes?
I may have, yes. It's been a while, okay, Jay? It's been a while.
But you do whatever makes you happy, brother.
Well, what it all goes into is just trying to find something that I like to do anyways and put it into what I do anyways.
It looks good. It looks good. I want to also hit up the wrestling buddies here, the tag team champions in Stride Pro Wrestling, and I know you both are well, Jay, you might remember them, but Dalton, were you obviously way back when the wrestling buddies first came out? Did you have them as kids? Lane's nodding his head. I'm sure he had them. Did you guys have these as toys as kids?
I didn't. I was too young. Oh, like I think they all came out before I was born, honestly.
Yeah, same. I didn't have any. I think I saw like commercials and stuff for them.
You had to, yeah.
No, I never had them because I didn't watch. I remember switching back and forth from WCW to WWF and watching Stone Cold.
Okay.
That's like all I remember. So I know it had to have been like 98-ish, 97, 98 is when I started kind of watching it.
Okay. Yeah, because when the Wrestling Buddies came out, I was too old.
89,
to me,
90.
To me, they were like a stuffed animal, so I was like, I collected the figures, you know. I've got my LJNs here. I collected these guys, but I did not do the Wrestling Buddies. Lane, did you collect the Wrestling Buddies?
So I had three of them.
Okay.
I had Hawk, of course. I had Macho, and I had the Ultimate Warrior, and I would wrestle the crap out of them, because I was, well, I mean, about the same size as I was then, you know, about five, so. But yeah, I remember the Wrestling Buddies. I remember getting all three of them on Christmas, I think 1990, and I was elated. I loved it.
Well, let's wrap this up, and I want each of you, and I'm going to start with you, Dalton. So I'll start with me, and then I'll hit you all up. But keep in mind, we're running out of time. So I want to know your favorite experience as a professional wrestler. It could be meeting someone. It could be something that you did in the ring. It could be something that you accomplished. For me, off the top of my head, I've got to go with going from, you know, doing the commentary and the ring announcing to having the opportunity and someone believing in me to step into the ropes and trusting me, because actually all three of you guys, Bud, Dalton, and Jay, I have been in the ring against and with in some cases, so I am thankful and appreciative of those opportunities and something that I never, ever in a million years thought would happen for me. So, Dalton, what stands out to you? What is your most memorable experience?
There's two. My big Super Show 3 angle with Shannon that, like, involved Road Warrior Animal and Joey Ryan and Marco. That was really cool. I think the one that means the most probably was Strideversary this year, winning the tag titles with Jay, because I think it was the first time that Tyler kind of gave me an opportunity to move up a little bit with a lot of really talented people and to see if I could hang. And it was just a really cool experience. And teaming with Jay's been a blast and a half to do so. It's been fun.
Yeah. Lane, what about you?
About me? I've got a couple. When I got to go with Earl Hebner to that convention and be on the backside of the whole, you know, sitting there beside the four horsemen, almost, you know, all that kind of stuff, that really blew my mind. Like, he introduced me to Demolition and a bunch of other people as his referee, you know what I'm saying? So
that's cool.
That was, like, I felt like I didn't belong to be there, to be honest with you. There's that, and I got one more. I don't know if it was, I think it was Super Show 1, the Dalton, I know you know, the four-way match at the end with Colt Cabana.
Yeah, Colt Cabana, Austin Lane, Brandon Barbar, Hollis Giroux.
Yep, that one. So I go up to them four to go over the match. I don't have my referee shirt on yet because it was before the show, and Colt looks at me and says, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm the referee, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's the finish." And he said, "You're the referee." And at that time, I was pretty good sized.
Yeah.
And he looked at our other referee at the time. I'm not going to say any names, but the other referee was more portly than I am. And I love him to death. But he said, he looked at me, he said, "You're the referee?" He said, "F that, I want the big guy." So at first I didn't know how to take it, but then I was like, you know what? It was a good feeling. I'll just say that. It was a good feeling. Yeah.
Absolutely. Bud Gallows, what about you, man?
My favorite moment so far is being able to be in the ring with a WWE Hall of Famer. Honestly, right. Bushwhacker, it was amazing. Everything I've gotten to do so far, starting the RWA, I've not won a single match. I am a single time tag team champion through the Freebird rule, and I still feel like there's so much left for me to do, which is part of the reason. And by the way, this is for sale.
All right. Well, yes, absolutely. And Jay Spade, wrap us up here and talk about your favorite memory so far.
So, I mean, it would have to go back to, like, when I first started and when I was training up in Olney. They had this club championship that they were going to crown. And it was like we had probably 10 people that would come and train and all that. And Josh chose me. So we had this big battle royal, and then at the end of the battle royal, whoever the last two people were, they had to wrestle for the championship. And I remember getting told that I was going to win, and I cried. And it was me and Brandon Walker were left, and then we ended up tearing it down, and then I ended up winning. And that was one of those cool, like, real moments where it felt like you actually did something. Like, you knew this was going to happen, but you could still kind of go into that. I don't know. I'll never forget that. That was awesome.
That is awesome. And guys, thank you so much. We are running out of time, but thank you for being a part of this experience. We're going to do this again. I like this. I had fun with this concept. So we will chat again soon. Friends, Thanks for listening, subscribing. The beer is starting to talk already. So have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.